If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in Colossians chapter 3 and reading verses 12 to 17. This is Colossians 3, reading verses 12 to 17. And hear now the word of God. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, every year about this time, we like to go on the internet and listen to old-time Thanksgiving songs. It's always just a joy. And, of course, as Christmas approaches, we do the same thing with Christmas. But we listen to all these songs that have been sung over the generations around Thanksgiving time. And one of our favorites, in fact, we listened to it this morning, was the song, I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For. And this is a song that came out of the movie Holiday Inn in 1942, and it was sung by Bing Crosby, written by Irving Berlin. So it's kind of in that Christmas mentality, but the whole thing has to do with giving thanks to the Lord, giving thanks for what we have. See, in America at that time was just involved in World War II, and as a result, people were suffering from all kinds of shortages and all kinds of problems. And so the message that was being given at that point was, don't look at what you don't have, look at how much you actually have. And it's a very interesting song. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but it starts off Bing Crosby singing, and he says, I've got plenty to be thankful for. I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for. I've got plenty to be thankful for. No private car, no caviar, no carpet on the floor. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for. And then he says, I've got eyes to see. I've got ears to hear with, arms to hug with, lips to kiss with, someone to adore. How could anybody ask for more? I've got plenty to be thankful for. You know, it's so easy for us to take for granted all that God has given. You know, there are times when God blesses us to the point where we begin to expect those blessings and take them for granted. And those blessings then turn into entitlements. Well, we deserve this. We should be given this. We should have this. You know, this isn't just a problem here in the United States. And you do realize that the United States is the only nation in the world that celebrates Thanksgiving. We're the only ones that set aside a particular day only to thank God for what he's given us. We're special in that. And yet, so easy for us to begin taking for granted what God has provided. And a worldwide problem today is that people have come to expect so much from one another and from the government. What's the government going to give us now? And I just use as an example what happened recently when some of the SNAP benefits were cut off for a period of time, not forever, just for a couple of weeks. And there was a furor around our country. You know, SNAP, I don't know, I suppose we're familiar with that. It used to be called food stamps. But basically what it is, it stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's supplemental and it's an assistance. And yet, right now, we have 41 million people in America who are depending on SNAP for every meal. Okay, that's not a blessing. That's That's an expectation. I'm supposed to get this. I deserve this. And so there's no gratitude as a result for that. And you know, Jesus addressed the very same problem in the people that he was ministering to. And this is found in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verses 15 to 18. And it says this. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And what Jesus was basically saying was, isn't anybody thankful? 1 out of 10 actually stopped, came back and said, "Thank you for what you've done." Well, why? Well, it was because of ingratitude. Well, you're a healer. This is what you're supposed to do. So go ahead and heal me. No thankfulness in their heart. No gratitude. See, the real cause of ingratitude is an ungrateful heart. And this basically points to an insufficient understanding of what blessing actually is. You know, what used to be a blessing suddenly becomes an expectation, and it's taken for granted. And the truth is, our technology today has given us these unrealistic expectations about life. Now, we were watching this program the other day, very interesting, but they were talking about the effect of AI, of artificial intelligence, on how people in the United States perceive beauty. How do you see beauty? And a lot of our young women are being influenced by unrealistic pictures of women that are beautiful, women that are made over by artificial intelligence, clearing out every flaw, every blemish, making them perfect. And unfortunately, people are looking at that and they're beginning to change their attitude as far as what really is beauty. And one of the things they used as an example, and I found this really interesting, most of you are familiar with Madonna. Okay, she has been a pop icon for generations now. And she has changed completely. Her look has changed completely into something that you would look at that and say, is that what people think is beauty? Miley Cyrus, another pop icon, has kind of followed suit, and she looks almost just like Madonna now. And it's like, what's going on here? How are people understanding that this is actually beauty? It's because our values have changed. And what we used to think was not beautiful, now suddenly we're being trained to accept as beauty. It's not beauty. Same thing with our blessing. What used to be considered a real blessing now suddenly has been taken for granted. And now instead of at a level 5, now we have to have a level 8 or a 9 in order to appreciate what it is that we've actually been given or what we actually have. So it's kind of an insufficient understanding of what blessing actually is. But beyond that, it's also an insufficient view of ourselves, of who we are. And it's easy for us to confuse the fruits of our labor with blessing. Well, I have these things because I have worked hard. I deserve to have this because I've worked 80 hours a week, and I've been able to invest properly, and I've been able to do this, and I. And that's why I receive blessing, because I have worked so hard. Do you know how many people worldwide have worked far harder and have much, much less? Many, many. Without us stopping and looking at it and saying, you know what? I am so fortunate. God has blessed us. He's blessed me. I'm grateful to God for this. I think I've shared this one other time, but some of you may remember the movie Shenandoah with Jimmy Stewart. And in the beginning, Jimmy Stewart is on this large farm, and he has sons, and the sons are helping him raise the crops and raise the cattle and doing a lot of the work on there, and they're putting in long, hard hours. And so it came time for them to sit around the dinner table, and all the sons and their wives and everybody sitting around this table, and Jimmy Stewart is going to ask the blessing. And Jimmy Stewart says, "Well, God, we tilled the soil, we planted the crops, we harvested the crops, and we've prepared the food out of those crops, and whatever you've done, we give you thanks." I don't know if any of you remember that movie, but you remember by the time the movie was over, he was on his face before God, because he realized everything I have came from God's hand. Hard lesson to learn. Hard lesson. It comes from an insufficient view of ourselves as far as what we have done to deserve what it is that we have. Things don't always have to work out the way they've worked out. It's also an insufficient view of God. You know, there's a departure in our country in particular from biblical truth. I don't know why, if people understood who God really is, why every church in Asheville wouldn't be jam-packed every Sunday, every time the doors are open, if we really knew who God was and who we are, about what the future holds. It's an insufficient view of God. And we're told that this would be the case. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this: "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." It's an insufficient view of God and his part in our life, of the way that he's blessed us. Now, that's the ungrateful heart. But there's a flip side to that, and that is the thankful heart. The heart that's able to receive God's blessing with thanksgiving. You know, this is a time when we celebrate Thanksgiving, and we kind of go back to those days when the pilgrims were here. And again, some of you have read this book, some it helped you to read it, but it's called The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall Jr. And in this book, he makes a distinction between the pilgrims and the Puritans. They were not the same. The pilgrims came here basically for economic reasons. They left their home country and came over here because they could get bigger fields, they could make more money, and that was their goal. The Puritans came to the United States, to America, for religious purposes. And so they were very different. And the truth of the matter is, they were blessed differently while they were here. Many of the pilgrim communities failed. And the reason they failed was because a lot of the aristocracy, who were not used to working, who didn't want to lift a finger, came over here and thought they were going to lay around and let somebody else plant the seed and harvest the crops, and then they would just sit back and eat everything. And it didn't happen. It didn't work. And a number of them perished as a result of the fact that they were unwilling to work for what they had. The Puritans had no such dreams. The Puritans came here knowing that they would have to work hard. They had a work ethic that came from the Bible. And so they would pour themselves into their crops and into their hunting and everything else that they needed, and they would lay the supplies up so they could make it through the winter. And when the time came, they were grateful that God had blessed them, and they had enough to eat and enough to go through the winter. That was the root of thanksgiving right there. But beyond all this, they were grateful to God for his constant care. See, the Puritans understood what it meant to be in covenant with God, to have a covenant relationship with Almighty God. God has made a covenant with mankind, and that covenant basically says, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." And with that, there came tremendous advantages. It meant that people were willing to surrender themselves, surrender their heart to the Lord. They were willing to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior in exchange for God's blessing. And God made covenant with them. And that covenant had two different aspects that were very important. And the Puritans understood this. And that was provision and protection. All through God's covenant with his people, God has promised provision and he's promised protection. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And the Puritans understood that. The Pilgrims neglected it. But the Puritans realized, it's the Lord. Sure, we're working hard. We're putting in a lot of time and a lot of energy, a lot of sweat and labor. But it's God that gives the blessing. He's the one that makes the crops grow and sends rain in the right time. He's the one that protects us from these enemies that are all around. I find it fascinating when you read this book, The Light and the Glory, when he talks about communities, pilgrim communities, 5 miles away is a Puritan community. The Indians at that time, Iroquois and some of the others in that part of the United States, would attack the pilgrim communities and wipe them out. The Puritan communities were never even touched. Now that's something that we don't read about in our history books, especially in grade school and coming up. You know, they're all kind of grouped together like they're all one, but they're not. There were pilgrim communities that were completely destroyed and devastated. Only a few miles away, a Puritan community that was left untouched. This is a matter of history and a matter of record. Wow. See, God realized his covenant with those who were seeking him. You see, all true thanksgiving begins with God. A recognition, first of all, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. That's found in James chapter 1, verse 17. It just says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." And so, this is God's blessing, realizing that all that we have, every good gift, every good thing that we have, ultimately comes from the Lord. And people say, "Now, wait a minute, I worked very hard for this." Yes, you did. But it was the Lord that opened the doors. It was the Lord that gave you the strength, the health. He provided in every way so that you could do that. It was not a matter of our choice. It was a blessing of God that we had that. And the truth is, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what kind of circumstances we find ourselves in, God is always faithful. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk made that clear. He says this is at the end of Habakkuk's vision. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, and he says this, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, though fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." We're talking about total devastation here. The entire economy falling apart. And then he says this in verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." He's saying, in spite of it, not because of it, not because of circumstances, you know, as long as God gives me what I want, I'll praise him. No. He's saying, whatever the circumstances are, whatever happens, I know that God is faithful. And I know that he cares about me. And I know that he will provide for me. He will show me the path, and we will go through it. Now, isn't that the kind of message that we need to hear in our culture today? When people are giving gloom and doom about the future, you know what? God never changes. He will provide and protect his people no matter what happens around the world, no matter what happens in this country. God will continue to provide. He will continue to protect. So you know what this should produce in all of us is a heart of gratitude. We should be grateful to God that he cares about us. I always think about David. I picture him out tending sheep. He's looking up at the stars. And he says, when I consider the works of your hands, what is man that you take notice of him, that you're mindful of him? Why does God care? Because he loves us. He loves us by his choice. He desires that fellowship with us. He gives us so much and we give so little in return, really. See, gratitude is nothing more than a biblical response to God's blessing. It's a recognition that apart from God, we wouldn't have anything. There are many people today, especially in this country, that have made it a point of saying they're atheists, they don't believe in God at all. If we had the opportunity to follow their lives to see what happens as a result of that statement, of those pronouncements that they make concerning God, I think that we would be shocked. Our ability to thank God basically reveals our true feelings toward him. You know, for instance, if God gave us more, would we love him more? If God gave us less, would we love him less? It kind of makes you wonder why the day after Thanksgiving is the day when everybody rushes to the store to buy more stuff. Black Friday. If God gave us more, would we then love him more? Well, that's not really love. If he gave us less, that's not really love. We show our gratitude to God through our praise and through our obedience. And that is, Lord, I know that I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to have what you've given. I don't deserve to have a God who loves me and who cares for me and who protects me and who provides for me. You know, we're told in Scripture that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That all of us deserve God's wrath. And yet he set that aside and he's poured out his love on his people. I love you with an everlasting love. You know, in our text, the text that we read this morning in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, in the last three verses, which would be 15, 16, and 17, in each verse there's a mention of thankfulness. In verse 15, it says, and be thankful, a command. Verse 16, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In 17, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. The importance of being thankful from the heart, showing gratitude to a God who loves us. Hearts that overflow. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, just a chapter before that, verses 6 and 7, it says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving, being thankful to God. If we take it for granted, then we say, well, Lord, I appreciate what you've given me, but why didn't you give me more? You know, I'd like to find out what it's like to really be rich, to have all the money in the world. Why? Why? Would it make you happier, really? No, it wouldn't. With great blessing comes great responsibility. But if our hearts overflow with gratitude, abound in thanksgiving, we really know the joy of the Lord. Some years ago, in late 1800s, there was a poem that was written by an individual by the name of George Herbert. And it's a very simple, short poem, and it says this, thou who has given so much to me, give me one thing more, a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleases me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. And what he was saying is, Lord, wherever I am in this life, whatever I have, whatever, however I live, I ask that my heart would truly be thankful to you as my God, because it's all by your hand. You have provided it. And I know that you'll continue to provide and to love me to the very end, because I belong to you. It's a great deal, folks. It's a great deal. And if you've not entered into that deal with the Lord, if you've not made covenant with God, if you've not bowed your knee and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I urge you, do it. Do it. We have some tough times coming, but God will protect his people and he will provide for his people. Make sure you're one of them. All of this comes because of God's great mercy. None of it is deserved. It's all God's mercy. We've sung a song from time to time, my sins they are many, his mercy is more. And that's what we cling to. That's what we need to cling to on Thursday. Enjoy the turkey, enjoy the food, have a great time with family. But remember, it's because of God's hand, his provision, that we can stand before him. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much that as we meet together, that we can sing your praise and show our gratitude and thanksgiving to you as our Lord and as our God. Father, you have always been faithful. You have taken care of us from day one in our lives. And Lord, we pray and ask that as we meet together to give thanks this Thursday, we pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with gratitude to a God who loves us, a God who protects us, a God who provides for us. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
If you would, please stand and we will sing our final hymn, which is number 433. 433. Now thank we all our God. Please stand.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.